Morning in James chapter 4, it's a passage that we don't hear about much. It's even a concept that we don't necessarily hear people talk about much, but it's something that God wants us to be aware of, and that is He wants us to be constantly walking in His will rather than making our own plans and doing whatever we want to do. And I think if we'll just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, He will do a work in our hearts through this passage this morning. Beginning in verse 13 of chapter 4 in James, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So the title this morning is, "If the Lord Will." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to open your word together, to sing praises, to give, to assemble, and we pray now as we go into your word together, the Holy Spirit would use it in our lives, that you would be glorified and lifted up, Lord, that you would just meet with us and do a miracle in our hearts, and that we would all leave changed and saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Thy will be done. Commit the service into your capable and wonderful hands. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some great concepts in this passage that we all really, as Christians, need to make sure we apply to our Christian walk. And that is that, as we see there in verse 13, God does not want us to make plans without Him, without consulting Him. And let's face it, we're all guilty of this, are we not? In a week, I'm going to do this. In a month, I'm going to do this. In next year, I'm going to do this. And we make all these plans, but do we stop and consult the Lord first? Or do we just make the plans and then say, "God, please bless these plans"? We're all guilty of it. But God wants us to understand that we're here for Him, that He owns us, that we're going to spend eternity with Him in heaven, and our short time here on earth, as we'll see, is to be spent in His will, His specific will. So in verse 13, the first thing we see is, number one, don't make plans without God. Notice he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." This is making plans. God says that is not His will for us to make plans without first consulting Him and involving Him. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about us making our own plans. Let's look at a few scriptures in Proverbs. Go to chapter 12, if you would. And you'll see that this is a concept that Solomon put forth as well, who was the wisest man outside of Christ that ever lived. This tendency that we have to make our own plans. Notice chapter 12 and verse 15 in Proverbs. The Bible says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." When we make plans, we believe that they are the right thing to do, or we wouldn't be making those plans, right? But God says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now go to chapter 16 and verse 9 of Proverbs. Chapter 16 and verse 9. The Bible says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." So we devise our way, but it's God that's in control. And then in chapter 20 of Proverbs, verse 24, look what God says. "Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way?" That's a rhetorical question. The answer is we can't. We can't understand our own way. Matter of fact, in Jeremiah 10, he says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps." We don't know the way. And yet, how often do we make plans without God? And that passage, this passage was specifically written to address that very thing. And you know, we get to verse 17, which many people know by heart. I think it'll help us to understand the context of that verse a lot better. Because when we just quote verse 17 by itself, we often think, oh, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We think, oh yeah, you can sin by not doing the right thing. But when you put it into context, what God is saying is that if you know this is God's will, but I'm going to do my will, that's sin. Anyway, so the first thing that we see, verse 13, is don't make plans without God. The second thing that we see, verse 14, is that tomorrow is never guaranteed. Look what it says. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. But let's face it, we all live our lives as if it is. It's the truth, isn't it? None of us expects tomorrow to be the last day. Unless maybe we have terminal cancer or something like that. But otherwise, we live our lives as if we have many years left. But God says, we don't know. And Solomon said in Proverbs 27, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't assume that tomorrow is guaranteed. And that's what he says. And that ties in with the first truth, which is don't make plans without God. The third thing that we see in verse 14, he says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So what he's telling us is that life is short. And we all say that, especially as we get older, get gray hair like me, or no hair like others. Hey, didn't say a name. But anyway, our lives are short. Do you realize how long we're going to spend with Jesus in heaven? I don't either. Because it's forever. Amen? And compared to forever with the Lord, compared to a 1,000-year kingdom with Jesus on earth, our lives are very, very short. But we treat them as if they're very, very long, don't we? God is telling us, it appeareth for a little time. Our lives are short compared to eternity. What is he trying to say? That our focus shouldn't be on this, but on this. And doesn't Jesus say, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on the earth? Doesn't he tell us in Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth? In other words, our focus needs to be on eternity rather than this little time on earth. Because it's short. If you go to Psalm 39:5, I want you to show you what David had to say about it. David, a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. Look what he wrote about our life on earth. Psalm 39, verse 5. It says, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Written by David. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, all flesh is as grass. 1 Peter 1:24. And we all know that grass doesn't last very long. Cut it off, it's dead. The grass withereth, the same verse says. So, don't make plans without God. Don't assume that tomorrow's always guaranteed, and live your life as if it's very short compared to eternity, because it is. So what's the fourth thing that we see? And this is the heart of the passage, James chapter 4, verse 15. For that ye ought to say, so God is saying, instead of living your lives this way, instead of living your lives as if you have forever, instead of living your lives as if tomorrow is guaranteed, instead of living your lives and just doing your own thing and then asking God to bless it, verse 15, you ought to do this instead, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. God is not telling us in this passage, this is important, he's not telling us just to attach it to everything that we say. Right? He's not trying to say, use this phrase. That's not the point of the passage, because you hear people do this sometimes. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Or I'll be there next week, Lord willing. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, but the point of this passage isn't that we say the phrase, but that we live the phrase. You understand? It's one thing to just attach that to everything we say about our future plans. It's another thing to live it. And that's what he's saying. You ought to say, you ought to live this way. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, first, I want to show you some examples from the Apostle Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians 4:19. This is how Paul lived his life after he was saved. Because Paul, as he planted more and more churches, he had constant demands on his time. Constant. Churches were writing him and saying, come help us, come help us, come help us. Paul had to decide, well, which one do I visit? Where do I go? Where's my next stop? And he would wait and let the Lord direct him. Notice 1 Corinthians 4:19, Paul says, but I will come to you shortly. He's writing to the church at Corinth. They're saying, Paul, we need you back. We've got a lot of problems. Please come back. He says, I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. And we'll know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Yes, I'll be there shortly if God allows it. I'm not even sure at this point if that's God's will. I know that you're asking me to come, and I will if I can. But I got to consult God first. You see what he's saying? Now go to Hebrews chapter 6. We don't know for sure who wrote Hebrews, but it was probably Paul. But whoever wrote it also understood this concept. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3. He says, and this will we do if God permit. So yes, we're going to do this and this and this if God allows it. But we're going to consult God first, and we're going to let God lead first, and we're going to let God direct first, if God permits. And God is saying, this is how I want you to live your life. I want you to live your life as if I'm in control, because He is in control. And we do belong to Him. And He wants us to live our lives that way. So that means we need to be consulting God. Amen? Constantly consulting God. And I want to show you some scriptures in Psalms. Go to Psalm 5. I'll do these in scripture order and just show you that David understood this even in his busy life. And don't think David wasn't busy. He had to run an entire kingdom. So he was a busy man. And yet in the writing of the scriptures, we see that David understood. Notice Psalm 5, verse 8. He says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Make thy way straight. Show me, Lord. Show me thy way. Not my way, thy way. Now go to Psalm 25 and verse 4. And I want you to see this is a theme of David's. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths, Lord. I want to walk in the way you want me to go. I want to walk in your path. And then go to Psalm 143, verse 8. We'll see it one more time in the writings of David, that he understood this concept of walking in the will of the Lord. Psalm 143, verse 8. He says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Now, this is just a couple of examples. But David understood, Paul understood, that this is how God wants us to live our lives. And as God said there in James 4:14, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Consulting God, asking God for direction. Lord, what is it you want me to do? What is your will for my life today, this week, this month, this year? Show me and direct my steps. So back to our passage, James chapter 4. We see firstly in verse 13, God says, don't make plans without me. We see in verse 14 that tomorrow is never guaranteed. We see in verse 14 as well that life is short compared to eternity. Therefore, we should be focusing our lives on eternity. And we see in verse 15 that we need to be constantly seeking God's will. How often? Daily? Hourly? Take your pick. If the Lord will. What is the Lord's will? Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Now, if you just read that verse by itself and not in context, you would think it was talking about just boasting about whatever. But now that we understand it in context, God is saying that when we make plans without Him and then pursue those plans, that is a prideful thing. This word boasting could also be understood as self-confidence. And we all have a problem with that, don't we? It's part of our pride issue that we inherited from the devil. Whenever we make plans without God, that's exactly what this is, though, is it not? It's self-confidence. I can do this. I can do this thing. I can go this direction. I can do this thing in a year. If we don't consult God, then who are we consulting? We're trusting in ourselves, are we not? And that's what he's saying. Rejoicing in your boastings, your self-confidence that you can just handle it. He says that is evil. And that's exactly what Solomon meant in Proverbs 27:1 when he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. And so that's the way he's using the word boasting. And then Jesus, if you go to Luke chapter 12, gave us a parable of a man who did this very thing to teach us this lesson. Go to Luke chapter 12, and he taught us a parable to say we should not be making plans without God. Notice down in verse 16 of Luke 12. Most of us, when we looked at it, we think about the riches, but I want you to see that it's mostly about the plans. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, did you notice there, this man, who did he consult? Jesus is telling the parable, and the rich man, verse 17, thought within himself. He didn't say, God, what do you want me to do? He said, self, what do you want me to do? And this is what we do, isn't it? Because God might have a different answer. And in this case, he definitely would have. Because he's saying that he was a fool for not considering what was God's plan. That his plan in the end was very foolish. So Jesus spoke a parable because we need to understand we need to be consulting God all the time. Especially with the big stuff, but even with the little stuff. Go to Luke 18, we'll see it again. Jesus told a different parable. But again, the same problem. I'm just going to read verse 9, just the beginning of the parable. It says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So the primary focus of the parable, obviously, is self-righteousness. Because we have the Pharisee who came to God and said, I tithe and so forth. But he also mentions there, trusted in themselves. And so Jesus here is pointing out that that is a sin. Trusting in ourselves. So that brings us to verse 17 of our passage, which now, it's this verse that we quote all the time, it kind of brings it into context. Therefore, so we know that it's related to what we just read, which is about, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What God is saying is, when we fulfill our own plans instead of fulfill God's plans for our lives, that is a sin. That's what he tells us. He used the word evil. Did you notice that there in verse 16? All such rejoicing is evil. We're talking about rejoicing in your plans. They're not God's plans, they're your plans, but rejoicing in them. Yes, I made all these exciting plans for my life. Yeah, but did you talk to God? Is that God's will? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, to him that knoweth to fulfill God's will and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And we're commanded to find and fulfill the will of God. Two scriptures that you know well, Romans 12, verse 2. Most of you know verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, right? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. But verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Anybody know the last three words? Will of God. That you may prove what is the will of God. Be a living sacrifice. In other words, give yourself to God that you may prove or fulfill the will of God for your life. It's not just talking about going to heaven, but it's the will of God for your life here on earth. Your daily, weekly, yearly will. Prove it. You can't do that unless you make yourself a living sacrifice. And then over in Ephesians 5, if you want to turn over there, God specifically mentions his will. Notice verse 17. This is a command, by the way. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are commanded to understand the will of God. Now, in this passage, he gives us many aspects of his will. In verse 15, he says to walk circumspectly or carefully. In verse 16, we're to redeem the time. In other words, accept the fact that our time is short. And make sure we use it wisely. Verses 18 and 19, we're told to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 20, we're told to be thankful. Verses 20 to 25, we're told to be submissive. Those are some things we know are God's will in our daily walk. But we could go on all day. The Bible says we're to be forgiving, we're to be giving, we're to be in prayer, we're to be witnessing, we're to be loving our enemies, studying the Word, abstaining from fornication, and on we could go. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is the context? For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Giving God our plans. Letting God direct. Letting God guide us every day, every week, every month, every year, Lord, what's your will? And to be constantly asking that question. And you know, when we ask, God answers. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and breedeth thought, and it shall be given him. If you lack it, ask. If you don't know, ask, and God will show. Get into his word and let God direct you. And he promises that he will. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, the Bible says, into all truth. Part of that truth is, what's God's will for my life? Today? This week? Are we asking? Or are we just making plans, like he says there in James 4:13? And then saying, Lord, now I've made all these plans for my life. Would you please bless them? We should have started with, Lord, are these plans okay with you? or do you want me to do something else? We might be surprised with the answer, but we won't be disappointed with the result. If the Lord will. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.